Our second reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, the verses 11 through 24. And then he said, "There was once a man who had two sons, and the younger said to his father, 'Father, I want right now what's coming to me.' So the father divided the property between them, and it wasn't long before the younger son packed his bags and left for a distant country. And there, undisciplined and dissipated, he wasted everything he had. After he had gone through all his money, there was a bad famine all through that country, and he began to hurt. He signed on with a citizen there who assigned him to his fields to slop the pigs. He was so hungry, he would have eaten the corn cobs in the pig slop, but no one would give him any. And that brought him to his senses. And he said, 'All those farmhands working for my father sit down to 3 meals a day, and here I am, starving to death. I'm going back to my father. And I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as a hired hand.' And he got right up and went home to his father. And when he was still a long way off, his father saw him, his heart pounding. He ran out, embraced him and kissed him. And then the son started his speech. 'Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son ever again.' But the father wasn't listening. He was calling to the servants, 'Quick, bring a clean set of clothes and dress him. Put the family ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And then get a grain-fed heifer and roast it. We're going to feast. We're going to have a wonderful time. My son is here, given up for dead and now alive. Given up for lost and now found.' And they began to have a wonderful time." Here ends our scripture reading. There are many things that we as Christians believe. One thing that we firmly believe is that God loves us, truly loves us. We believe, in spite of what others say, we believe that God really cares for us. Now, the parable of the prodigal son tells us so much about who God really is. And if you listen to the whole story, it actually tells us much more about God than about the prodigal son. Prodigal son was not the main player in this drama. The main player was the father. And we recognize in the story of Jesus that this was a reference to God, his father. It's a very tender story. It begins as a story of estrangement, and then it ends with joyous reconciliation between a parent and a child. And we discover that in the same way as a child often takes after its parents, so God created us in God's own image. Deep, deep inside, we know there's a God. And we know that God loves us. Now, sometimes God gets misinterpreted. Some see God as a punisher. Some have someone who's going to roast you. That's not God. That's not God. In God is the image that we need to desire to follow and to store deep inside our hearts, in our lives. It must show in our words, in our actions, and in our deeds. And do you know that another truth is that each one of us actually carries a picture of God in our hearts and in our minds. The picture that you and I carry, listen well, is the result not of a personal confrontation with God, but of a variety of factors that accumulated to create that image. And all of us have our own specific picture that we carry. This is who God is. This is what God is like. This is how God behaves. And for once, you must know that your inner emotions are not necessarily correct. Because the image of God that you and I carry often consists of what we were taught by other people, what we saw and what we heard from others. Often, our image of God is what our own personal imagination produced. Well, I think God must be like this. And that becomes our God image. People grow up with all sorts of notions of what God is really like. And so many people see God as an enemy that they need to watch out for. There are many others who see God as a policeman, dangerous to have him around. And yes, many others carry an image of God as an abusive parent. What image do you and I carry in our hearts of God? Is it self-made? Or does it rest on the experience that God is God and God is my God? So Jesus was actually answering an age-old question, and he was explaining what God is really like. And there are interesting things that happen in this story about the prodigal son. First of all, Jesus shows us a father who loves us enough even to let us go. You know, that is remarkable if you think about it. An arrogant son comes to his father and says to him, in essence, "Look, old man, I'm tired of staying on your farm. I want to see the city now. And by the way, I do not want to wait until you die to enjoy life. I'm going to start right now." And then he goes on, "Give me my share of the inheritance right now." How arrogant. If you hear the story, you think, whoa. What a kid. What a kid. Arrogant. Children should not talk to their fathers like this. Aha, but you know we have that image. Never mind, surely this dad is going to react. He's going to punish, and he's going to punish this kid swiftly. Here comes the other surprise. Father did not react that way. He actually ponders the young man's request for a few moments and then says, "Okay, all right. If that's what you want, That's what you'll get. And now you must remember that in this parable, Jesus is actually explaining us something about God, about who God really is. And this is it. God loves us enough to let us go. And above all, God did not create us to respond like robots. Just press a button and we like this or like that. But the Bible says, and some of us have experienced this with some anxiety, the great Creator, I sense His presence, I feel it. Should I take the shoes from my feet? He created us in His own image. And whatever else that may mean, one thing is certain. Therefore, we are free to choose our own destiny. He's not going to force us. And then the picture moves on. Jesus shows us a Father who patiently waits for us to decide. Must have been tough. And we know the story. Daddy spent his days on the front porch watching the horizon. My kid is away. When will he come back? Jesus shows a Father who patiently waits for us to decide. The Father waits on the lost boy to make his own decision, because that is the ultimate consequence of freedom. God will not force us ever. God will not make us behave. God will not interfere even. The consequence for all of us is, you and I, even this morning, we are free to choose life or death, love or indifference, failure or success. But you know the turning point in this story of Jesus, the highlight, the moment that we, some of us, have hoped for, finally came. Bible says, and one day he came to himself. And all the glitter and everything that he thought and said and was, and what he found in a foreign land, was gone. One day he came to himself when he was trying to share the slop of the pigs. He came to himself. What a great statement. Hey, I'm not a pig. I'm a boy. I have a father. He was not a swine. He was a son. And then the longing began to hurt. Even the servants in the Father's house have plenty to eat. They have a warm place to sleep. He looked around him. What am I doing in this big sty? And suddenly it became clear. I've tried everything to run away from God. His decision came. Many of us have never made that decision with conviction. He would go back to his Father and he will say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I've blown that opportunity. I know that. Don't call me your son anymore. At last, he was accepting responsibility. He faced the consequences of his actions. He accepted responsibility for the situation that he was in. And you know, that is always, always the first step in finding the way back home. Young man came to himself, and only then he started home. And the father? We know what to expect this time. Father didn't set conditions. Okay, I may consider allowing you back on the farm, but you're never going to do this, you're never going to do that, I won't allow you this, you must do this and that. Bible says that the Father accepts him without any condition. Seeing him from afar, the Father ran and embraced him and kissed him. Oh yeah, earthly fathers may be tempted to kill the prodigal child. But our God kills the fatted calf. Many lost, forlorn, and unhappy people are nothing but folks who do not really feel loved and accepted. God's love is about redemption. It's not about judgment. It does pose a personal question. And whenever I decide to ask a question from the pulpit, I do wrestle with the question and decide what my answer would be. How about you? Where are you in this story at this phase of your life's journey? Do you still have a need in your life to break away from religion, to walk the road to freedom? Or are you so far away that you long and say, it's time for me to be homeward bound again? You know, and that's in that crisis moment that many people go through. Someone might be thinking, yeah, well, it doesn't apply to me. I'm not good enough for all that. Sounds like religious jargon. You know, that's really another important point. God considers you to be good enough. Thank God, we do not have to be good enough to return to Him. So out of this picture of an ancient feast emerges a powerful illustration of who God really is and how God thinks. We see through the story of Jesus, we get an image of what the Father is like. You know, and that's when I say amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Then we only begin to understand what grace is all about when Jesus introduces us to God. Not as a being far away, but as a Father. A heavenly Father. A heavenly parent. So God loves us enough to let us go. God will not force entry into our lives. God's love is unconditional. It's unconditional acceptance awaiting your and my decision. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. Beautiful words. Wonderful words. Wonderful words of life. Let's bow in prayer. God our God, you are always with us. We are your creation. And now we give thanks for your compassion and goodness in spite of our disobedience. Like a parent, you celebrate our small steps and new discoveries. Like a parent, you are ever patient with our mistakes and our willfulness. You withhold your anger when we are unfaithful, and you love us with a love that will never, ever let us go. Father God, you are indeed our Father.